Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Thursday, April 20th, 2017. Going to be a very unseasonably warm, I think you could call it hot, weekend coming up here in southern Arizona. It is AM 1030 KVOI. That is our home of the Buckmaster Show. We've got our worldwide live listening anywhere you're near a computer, anywhere in the world. BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com will allow you to listen to our program, all of our podcasts, and the complete show archive. Pretty much more than 6 years' worth of programs available anytime at BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line number for your comments and questions is now open at 790-2040. Well, the Arizona legislature abolished parole as of January 1st, 1994, as part of a tough-on-crime push called Truth in Sentencing. Before then, one of the possible sentences for first-degree murder was life with a chance of parole after 25 or 35 years. The new law abolished parole altogether. Life sentences were redefined as life with a chance of release after 25 or 35 years, which requires a gubernatorial pardon and not just a decision by the parole board. Nevertheless, according to a recent three-part series by the Arizona Republic titled The Myth of Parole, in the 23 years since the law was sent into effect, judges continue to impose sentences of life with chance of parole in more than 250 instances, and no one is doing anything about it. Why not? Let's ask Barbara LaWall, Pima County Attorney, and Deputy Pima County Attorney Rick Unclesbay, both with us on the Buckmaster Show telephonically this afternoon. Barbara and Rick, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm a little bit under the weather, Bill, but I'm doing okay.
I'm doing fine, and that's why I'm in a separate office calling in, so
of course.
I don't get Barbara's under-the-weather feeling.
You're in the germ-free zone. All right, why not? Why is this being allowed to happen? Why isn't anybody doing anything about it?
Well, it's probably not accurate that people aren't doing anything about it, but it came about because judges and prosecutors and defense attorneys ended up being imprecise in the language that they used in sentencing minute entries. And so a lot of this can actually be corrected, and it's not as bad as people think, but the legislature is probably going to have to act this year. Individuals who were sentenced to life inadvertently with, quote, the opportunity or possibility or chance for parole are coming up on that 25 years within the next 2 years. And so the legislature is going to have to get into gear and do something about it pretty quickly. And actually, I think there's a rather simple fix. I'm going to let Rick talk about it because it actually involved juveniles.
Huh. What is the simple fix or proposed simple fix, Rick Unclesbay?
Well, in 2014, the legislature did take some action with regards to juveniles, that is, folks who were under 18 who were prosecuted as adults for mostly for murder, who got 25 to life. And in 2014, the legislature simply added a new statute and said that if you were a juvenile, doesn't matter when you were placed on, when you were sentenced, that you have the opportunity for parole. And at the time, in 2014, the legislature decided just to make that new statute available to juveniles. And the simple fix is to open that up to anyone who was sentenced to a 25-to-life sentence. It wouldn't take a whole lot of action on the part of the legislature to correct that.
And Pima County had a total, according to the Arizona Republic, of 119 cases that would fit into this category. Barbara, why did judges continue? Go ahead, Barbara.
I was going to say that there's really only five.
Okay.
There's five out of that 100, and I think it were 117 or 119.
Okay.
There are only five in which that language was used. The others, the language was correct.
I see.
And I think that judges got used to the fact that when you sentence somebody to life, you sentence them to life. 25. It was called 25 to life. It's imprecise, but at 25 years, you were eligible to go before the parole board. It didn't mean you got paroled.
Mm-hmm.
You just simply had the eligibility to petition the parole board. The parole board had the authority to actually make the release if they felt that somebody had an opportunity to correct their behavior and, you know, not have to serve the remainder of their life term. Now, however, the difference is the board, it's called the Board of Clemency, which can also act, I'll confuse everybody here, it acts as a parole board for everybody who was sentenced prior to 1994.
Hmm.
And on those cases, they do have the authority under the law to make those releases. But as the Board of Clemency now, when your 25 years have passed, and 35 is for some of the more serious child molest cases. But when that opportunity comes up, you have to petition the Board of Clemency. They no longer have the authority to release the prisoner. They can make a recommendation to the governor to do a pardon or a commutation. And that's the difference.
Overall, was this a good thing, Rick Unclesbay, truth in sentencing going back to 1994? Overall, has it been a good thing?
Oh, sure. I mean, overall, I think it's been a very good thing for victims to know with some certainty what the individual who was convicted in their case was going to be looking at in terms of a prison sentence. So it brought this sense of certainty to victims, to the community about what what the crime that was committed, the person that was convicted of that crime, what they were going to be doing. So, yeah, sure, overall, I think that the legislature hit the mark of what they were intending to do.
Bill, prior to 1994, the prison actually had the ability to determine the length of sentence. Even though a judge may have sentenced somebody to 10 years,
uh-huh,
they would get all kinds of good time, release time, time credits, and they might get out in 4 years.
Really?
And yes. And so the truth in sentencing came about primarily because of victims in the state of Arizona saying, this is unreal. We thought the perpetrator who robbed us or shot us or murdered our loved one was going to serve X number of years. So truth in sentencing simply means that there's a statute now that says before anybody, regardless of what the crime is, before anybody can be released by the Department of Corrections, they must serve at least 85% of the sentence. So if someone's sentenced to 10 years, you can tell your victims they're going to be incarcerated for a minimum of 8.5 years before they're eligible for release on any basis.
That would be mandatory in a 10-year sentence that they would have to serve 8.5 or 8.5 years, basically, is what you're
saying.
That's
right, and the Department of Corrections can't release them prior to that time.
Hmm. Rick, go ahead.
Well, the other thing that could come out of this, I mean, with these folks that are being sentenced to 25 to life, we've always trusted the Board of Executive Clemency. It used to be the Parole Board, and now it's the Board of Executive Clemency. We've always trusted them with the decisions of these individuals who were sentenced to 25 to life for the board to make a determination. Are they fit to come out now? Have they been a good prisoner such that we can trust them on the outside? And if the legislature decided to tweak the law a little bit, that authority would be given back to this board for them to again make that decision for these 25 to lifers. And I got to tell you, I mean, I appear before that board quite often on behalf of Barbara, and they're not easy to for an inmate to get by and get a release or a recommendation of release. So the folks on there do a very good job with making these kind of determinations. And I think I would be comfortable if the legislature decided to give back that authority to the board on these 25 to life cases. And that would solve the the 400 and some statewide that are out there right now where there is some uncertainty about.
Before we take our break, and luckily we've got both of you for another segment, but could you briefly explain who are the you don't need to list who the members are, but how do these people, how are they appointed to the board of clemency? How does that work? Could you explain
There's five members. They're appointed by the governor to five-year terms. It's a full-time position. They are paid state employees. They receive a four-week training course that's required, that's given by the Arizona Attorney General's office. They have a chairman. The chairman serves a two-year term, and that chairman is appointed by the governor, and they meet once a month. And so it is a state-appointed position.
And both of you seem to be pleased with the way it is composed and the way things are going with the board.
You know, these are very thoughtful people. They take their jobs really seriously, and they do a lot of homework. I mean, they read the file, they read the case that brought about the conviction, they read the inmate file. They give a lot of consideration, and they fully understand that it's a very weighty decision that they have to make.
All right, Rick. Go ahead, Barbara, real quickly.
I was just going to say, and they do this after a hearing in which the victim, the prosecutor, the presiding judge are all given an opportunity to be heard, and then they have to find by clear and convincing evidence that there is a substantial probability that the prisoner, when released, will conform his or her conduct to the requirements of the law.
All right.
Both
of you stay on the line, and we're going to take our break right here. But I want to tell people that Green Things, my favorite nursery, 3384 East River Road, great place to go for all of your gardening needs coming up this Saturday morning, making that a real special wedding centerpiece with some beautiful live flowers and beautiful things that they have over at Green Things. That's coming up at the workshop this weekend, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. We've got a caller. Caller, please hang on. And Barbara LaWall and Rick Unclesbay will be with us also on the live line right after this. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Friday for our Friday Focus interview with Congressman Raul Grijalva. Our Friday roundtable features Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, plus Matt Russell with Weekend Watch on Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. With us on the live line, Barbara LaWall, Pima County Attorney, and Rick Uncles Bay, Deputy Pima County Attorney. In the first segment of the program, we were talking about the so-called myth of life sentences with parole in Arizona. We had a caller who couldn't stick around with us, so I'll ask the question of Barbara and Rick that the caller wanted clarified. Why are juveniles sentenced as adults in Pima County? On occasion, I guess you would say.
In 1996, a statute came that required mandatory treatment as adults for, I think, five or six very serious offenses. And this is individuals 15 to 18 years old. It's not all juveniles. So you have to be 15 or older, and if you commit a homicide, a sexual assault, an aggravated assault with a gun, or an armed robbery with a gun, and there's one more, and a drive-by shooting, then you are automatically treated as an adult. And that is by state statute.
Rick, what assurance is there that people sentenced to quite a bit of time, really any time, behind bars that the jury got it right? And I know you and Barbara have a conviction integrity unit. How is that doing?
Well, actually pretty well. I mean, Barbara started this in October of 2014, and so I've been working on it since then. And so what we do in the unit is a number of things. One, we've reached out to the state prisons, given them my contact information. If anybody in the state prison wants to apply to the unit to have their case reviewed to make sure that there was sufficient evidence that there's not evidence that to show that they're innocent, we take another look at that. But also, probably just as importantly, the unit works with both law schools that have wrongful conviction clinics where they're working on cases where they might want to take a second look at something. So I work closely with them as well as the Statewide Justice Project, which is sort of an offshoot of the National Innocence Project. So I work with a number of defense attorneys around the state where we will take a second look at cases, and we facilitate or actually do the DNA testing that may not have been done 20 years ago. So we've been working very closely. We have meetings quite often, are in touch with each other, the clinics at the law school and the Justice Project, and I. We're in constant contact looking at cases to see whether or not there's evidence of actual innocence on anybody that's been convicted. So I think it's a really important thing that we're doing in the office to make sure that, you know, not only the jury got the right person, but if something comes up later on, that we're taking another look at it.
Barbara, a lot of people very concerned about domestic violence. We had a very high-profile incident here last weekend. How serious is domestic violence in our community? Are we making any kind of progress on this? And we've been talking about it for a long time, and I wonder, are we making a dent in it?
Frankly, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think, first of all, it's a national epidemic. It is occurring not only in Pima County, but all over the United States. And I think, in part, a lot more of the domestic violence that we see is the result of domestic violence abusers having easy access to handguns. And that has increased the number of violent murders that have occurred as a result of domestic violence. You know, last year we prosecuted about 600 felony domestic violence cases and more than 12,000 misdemeanor cases. And any one of those misdemeanor individuals could instantly become a felony defendant and commit a felony domestic violence, because it escalates very quickly, and particularly when there's access to handguns. So firearm removal and retrieval in cases of domestic violence is very important. I promoted a bill in the legislature to have a process to remove firearms from domestic violence abusers, because the statute requires it now. It didn't even get a hearing. So here's what happens when there's a felony domestic violence abuser who has firearms. They have a probation officer, and that probation officer ensures that firearms are not accessible to the convicted defendant. But the vast, vast majority of all domestic violence abusers are in our misdemeanor courts, not only in Pima County Consolidated Justice Court, but in the city of Tucson, Sarita, Marana, Oro Valley, etc. They're unsupervised, and there's no mechanism to ensure that those individuals no longer have an access to firearms during their period of unsupervised probation. So there needs to be some mechanism, but just even getting the legislature to consider a bill was impossible. They would not have a hearing on it.
Rick, you want to weigh in on that?
No, there's really not much more I can add to that. In the office, we have a team, a whole team devoted just to the prosecution of domestic violence, and I think we have four attorneys that are assigned to the felony domestic violence team that are taking on those caseloads. So it's something that's really important. And as I said, you know, Barbara's office recognizes the importance of that.
Barbara, I only have about 3 minutes left here, and I wonder if you could give us a preview. You'll be going before the board, Pima County Board of Supervisors, about your budget for the office beginning with the new fiscal year, July 1st. Can you give us an overview? How does it look?
Well, my budget hasn't asked for any additional resources this year. Recognizing that the money isn't available, we have not asked for additional prosecutors or additional resources. So it's a pretty static budget. And I will be talking to them about the successes that we've had, but also making some very specific recommendations on some things that we can do as a county to improve the efficiency of the criminal justice system. And one of my big ones is to create a consolidated urban misdemeanor court for all of our misdemeanor courts. It's very inefficient. We create lots of problems. Each of our courts has a separate location, separate fines and fees, separate judges, separate prosecutors, etc., but all use the Pima County Jail. And about 85% of the individuals who are in the Pima County Jail taking up space are misdemeanants from all of our various misdemeanor courts throughout Pima County. If we could change that and deal with the mentally ill and decriminalize the mentally ill and not put them in jail, we could really have an impact on the budget, because the vast, more than half the budget of the justice and law enforcement budget is the Pima County Sheriff's Jail.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of room there for improving efficiency, correct?
Yes, and we actually have a safety and justice team in place under the MacArthur Grant that consists of the justices and prosecutors, defense and probation and community behavioral health resources, and we're working on these. We're working on trying to make the system better, more efficient, more effective, so that we can free up some of the money that's being spent in what, you know, what the sheriff calls the most expensive mental health unit in Pima County, which is our jail.
All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. Barbara LaWall, I hope you're feeling a little better, and we'll be soon. And Rick Unclesbay, always a pleasure. Let's do it again sometime. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
I would love it.
Thanks
a
lot.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Bye-bye. 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. How is the state doing? What's the fiscal picture look like? ASU economist Dr. Dennis Hoffman will be on the live line next. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery, info and tickets at biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on a quite warm Thursday afternoon, but by Sunday, maybe close to 100 would be one of the earliest ever hitting 100 degrees. It is still rather rare in Tucson, Arizona to hit 100 degrees in April. Well, coming up on Memorial Day weekend over in Silver City, which is only a three-hour drive, basically, from Tucson, 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. We strongly recommend this event. Ghost Town Blues Band out of Memphis will be the headliners. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. They have the full listing of the many things to do, the recreation opportunities, and the many great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now up to Tempe and Arizona State University, Professor Dennis Hoffman, the director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU. Dr. Hoffman has sponsored many project efforts, including the construction and maintenance of the tax revenue forecasting model used by the Executive Budget Office of the State of Arizona. They've been using that model since 1982. Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. I'm just curious, how is the state budget picture looking right now? Have the lawmakers released the blueprint?
I think they're in deep negotiation mode this week, Bill, from what I can tell. And so you don't get a lot of information coming from the folks until they have the deal set. But I think they're close. I think they're definitely working toward a budget for fiscal year 18, and we're doing our best to deliver forecasts of revenues and what revenues we can expect over the next, say, 12 to 18 months.
Why don't we go over some of those if we can, Professor? What do you have on the table there for us?
Well, candidly, we've seen over the last few months some, let's call it, sluggish growth in revenues, and there's I think at play. The retail sales, say the transaction privilege tax, is only growing modestly on a year-over-year basis, and it continues to be eroded by online transactions and just preferences for services, preferences for products outside the TPT base. The corporate income receipts have been way down this year against last year, and that is not reflective of the economy. That's reflective of the changes in the rate on the corporate income tax and the fact that the corporations are now tapping some refunds that they've built up over the last few years that they haven't tapped. So it's a double whammy on corporate. Individuals, interesting. The withholding, the pace of ordinary incomes continues to improve on a year-over-year basis, but large payers are yet to be determined. I have a suspicion that all of this talk last November and December about impending tax cuts actually caused those of the fortunate among us, Bill, that have the ability to delay income for a month or two, they might have delayed income into calendar 17, which, of course, then would not allow us to realize it for a year down the road. Kind of the opposite happened a few years ago when people feared that taxes were going to go up. There, they accelerated income forward, and we kind of had a windfall for 1 year, followed by a downturn the following. So if that makes it any sense to your listeners, what I'm talking about is if you really believe taxes were going down, taxes in 17 would be a lot lower than in 16, and you had the ability last December to delay realizing income until January or February, you did so, and that allows then tax revenues to slide forward for a year. And I think we may be seeing a bit of that this year.
I want to talk about retail. There's just a revolution going on. The way people are buying, they're going to Amazon. And I don't know if you've been to a mall lately, but if you have, you've probably noticed that there's not a lot of business in malls anymore. How is that going to affect our incomes?
Well, it has a huge huge impact on say retail employment, brick and mortar retail employment. I've seen charts, Bill, recently comparing the loss of say retail employment with the losses in manufacturing or in mining, and you know retail is really taking a hit nationwide. It's just far more efficient for sellers to sell online. You need far fewer people. You need warehousing employment, but you don't need salespeople. You don't need people front-facing your customers. That certainly leads to a decrease in demand for retail employment. We've seen that in the state. We also see that in our tax base. If we end up buying more goods and services from online providers as opposed to brick-and-mortar retailers, there's a good chance that those transactions are not being taxed. And it's not that we don't owe taxes on them, Bill. It's mm-hmm. just that there's no administrative mechanism that's capturing the tax. Now, some of our largest online sellers do collect taxes.
Right.
And so we have that. But we have a number of small affiliates where those taxes are simply not being collected.
Are you wondering about the future of malls, about how they will be repurposed, Dr. Hoffman?
Oh, I think a mall to survive going forward has to be create an experience. Be that the way Mall of America went with a theme park inside it, or I saw one demo the other day where they're trying to create a kind of a almost like a children's museum environment, or an environment that is geared toward practical learning, where children can really get an interesting experience there, but require that the parent be on premises, give the parent and the child a wristband and make sure that they're both within several hundred yards of each other. So therefore, you get traffic. What the malls lack, of course, is traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because those eyes are fixed on computer screens at home, and you can see almost anything you need there. But the demise of retail is happening everywhere. I think many of us have our dog food delivered online, from an online provider. Now we don't have to go to a dog food store. We don't have to purchase good shoes. You can purchase online very efficiently. So
well,
it's everywhere.
Well, I don't know how Amazon did it, but I ordered something and it arrived on a Sunday, and I ordered it. It arrived Sunday afternoon, and I ordered it on Easter morning, that morning, and it's at the door within 5 hours. I don't know how they do
it. Amazing.
It really is.
They have major warehousing hubs, say maybe up here, but then satellites, no doubt, in Pima, because you probably have a long record with them, Bill. They probably carry all the inventory for the Buckmaster household there, right in one local shop that's close to your home.
They do. I got to wrap it up, but it is kind of rejuvenating the Postal Service, because I guess they've got a big contract with Amazon.
Indeed they do.
Yeah, so you
see. That's right. And that's efficient. You've got those trucks sitting mm-hmm. there. And, you know, other trucks are roaming the neighborhood. You might as well put them to work. So it is.
All right.
The economy's picking up. Looks like a better next year than this.
Good.
So, but certainly dynamic. You got to be prepared for changes in anything, from retail to anything.
The only constant in life is change, Dennis. There you go.
Indeed, Bill.
Thank you very much, Dennis Hoffman.
Great talking with you, and best to you all down there.
Thank you very much, Dennis Hoffman. Well-known economist up at Arizona State University. Good to reconnect with him. Haven't spoken with him in many months. Good to have him back on the program. We'll be right back. Good things happening at the Tucson Botanical Gardens right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:49 on a toasty Thursday afternoon in Tucson. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview here at noon. Congressman Raul Grijalva will be with me. Joining me in the questioning tomorrow will be Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. But right now, we turn our attention to Michelle Conklin. It's always good to see Michelle, the Tucson Botanical Gardens Executive Director. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to give you my kudos. The Canadian Garden Council and the American Public Gardens Association made a big announcement recently that the Tucson Botanical Gardens has been selected as one of the top 10 North American gardens worth traveling for. This is big news because a lot of people do garden tourism.
They travel
to a city. I mean, I like to go to a botanical gardens.
Do you know that more people visit botanical gardens than visit Disneyland and Disney World combined in one year?
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how this came about.
Well, frankly, we did not apply for this.
Really?
We did not nominate ourselves. About 2 weeks before the event in Toronto, I got a phone call. Actually, I got an email. I found it in my junk mail. And I'm going through junk mail, and lo and behold, here's this email. And I made a phone call, and they said, yes, we would like you to join us in Toronto for the awards ceremony. So I quickly got a passport, mm-hmm. booked two tickets. Could not find a pair of boots anywhere in Tucson because it was snowing in Toronto, and headed off to Toronto. And it was just the most exciting time in my life. I was joined by colleagues from Beijing and Dubai and Disney Euro, as well as Chicago, the High Line in New York. It was just a remarkable experience.
Yeah, some of the folks on the list, my hometown, the Chicago Botanical Garden, made the top 10 list, the garden in Oaxaca, Mexico, up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Nova Scotia. So you're in some very good company. San Diego Public Garden. Many of our listeners, I'm sure, have been over to San Diego and seen their beautiful garden over there. This is big, and this is certainly something very promotable.
It is. And, you know, apparently we were nominated by some of the top 10 winners from the previous year. And then from that point, it goes to a jury, which does a lot of research on how much you've impacted your community, the number of partners that you've brought in, as well as the visitation and the buzz around the country. And for the Frida Kahlo exhibit, the Art, Garden, and mm-hmm. Life exhibit, we've received press in Vancouver, Dallas, Texas. I had a call from Dubai. CNN picked it up early on. So it has really brought Tucson Botanical Gardens and the city of Tucson to some real prominence.
The Frida show has been a game changer, hasn't it?
It really has.
When did it begin, and what do we know about how long it will continue?
Well, it began, I would say, gave birth in New York Botanical Gardens about 5 years ago.
Okay.
They wrote a grant to the Institute of Museum Library Sciences, and in 2013, they were awarded, I believe it was an $800,000 grant to create it. I sat on a committee with the vice president of exhibitions and just whispered in her ear, boy, when that Frida Kahlo exhibit is over, what are you going to do with it? 2 years later, she called me and said, listen, we didn't want to tell you, but another garden was written in to accept the exhibit. Only one small public garden in America will get this, and if you want it, it's yours.
Whoa.
So it happened quickly, and we were incredibly grateful because it has been a real, as you said, a game changer and a gift to not only the gardens, but really to the city.
The attendance numbers have been off the charts.
Unbelievable. I was just looking at our class numbers yesterday. We mm-hmm. had a 83% increase in class attendance,
Whoa.
All surrounding the Frida Kahlo lectures, classes that we've been given.
How long will the show be up?
Well, you know, we opened October 9th, mm-hmm. and It's slated to close May 31st,
right.
But we'd like to announce on your show first that we are going to be extending that exhibit until August 31st.
Wonderful.
We may do a brief close to kind of repair the pyramid, mm-hmm. because it really wasn't made to travel, nor was it made to be in the hot Arizona sun, but that shouldn't take us that long to do those repairs.
Breaking news right here on the Buckmaster Show. The Frida Show will be up now, extended through the summer to May 31st, and that is very good news. The Frida Show brought a lot of people who perhaps have driven by the Tucson Botanical Gardens and they really had never come in. It was something to bring people in for the first time.
That's
Am I right?
That's there, correct.
It brought a lot of new people in.
Well, I really think that model started when you and I sat here a couple of years ago and talked about bringing Lego sculptures into the garden.
Yes,
remember that?
I do remember that.
And that really, I think, set us off on some new momentum with mm-hmm. bringing families and children. And this has brought another demographic to our garden, families as well as a lot of mixed community members and new partners. That parking lot is busy every day, but I don't want that to stop anyone from visiting.
No.
Because fries
there's
are...
room.
There's always room.
Yes, even though the lot looks like it's to capacity, when you get into the gardens, you're going to still have quite a bit of breathing room.
That's true.
I do want to put a plug in for your fine area that you have, not only for the gardens, but... there's a great place to eat.
That's
at the garden.
Cafe Botanica, run by Chef Christine Jensen. Mm-hmm. The cafe is amazing. It's all locally sourced food. A lot of the things from our garden that are grown are utilized in the cafe, such as the figs. Our herb garden right now is phenomenal, and she's waiting for that golden oregano to be picked so she can incorporate that into some of the menus. So it's a fantastic. They offer dinners on Thursday and Friday nights, and they're open 7 days a week.
And I've had some great breakfasts over there. I am a member of the Tucson Botanical Gardens. It's not that expensive to become a member, and it gives you all sorts of access to the gardens anytime you want to show up.
That's right, 7 days a week. And summertime is approaching, and, you know, we always tell everyone that it's 10 degrees cooler once you walk inside those gates.
Mm-hmm.
And we also use that opportunity from June through the end of September to initiate our dog days of summer, where you are allowed to bring your dog for a walk.
Cool.
From 8:30 to 4:30, possibly a little earlier. I'll have to double check with my marketing director on those hours, look at the website. But your dog must be on a leash. We also offer dog membership, so your dog can come in for free.
Oh.
If your dog is not a member, then he pays the child's fare.
TucsonBotanical.org is the website,
right.
And I was just checking on the website. I do want to mention you've got some, besides the Frida Show, there are some great classes coming up. You've got the Fruitful Garden, Fruitful Kitchen Gardens. That's a three-part series beginning April 20th.
We have a number of classes that range from art classes to some gardening classes, design classes, tree pruning. It just kind of goes on and on, as well as our summer science camp for kids, which is in June and July.
And the garden attracts birds, which for the bird lovers, and there are many here in the community, there's going to be a special event Friday, April 21st, Friday morning, 10 to noon. And this is about some of our visitors that come through and the water birds.
You know, Tucson is quite a place for bird watching, and when you come to the Tucson Botanical Gardens, right smack in the middle of the city, we have every plant material that our birds require to be flourish and enjoy. So bring out your binoculars and a bottle of water, of course, and some sunscreen.
And if you're looking for some really unusual gifts, you have a really nice gift selection at the Tucson Botanical Gardens.
Our gift shop is fantastic. We have great gift shop managers.
Whoever's doing your buying or managing is getting some really unique items from around the world and really great gift items, looking for something unusual.
A lot of items are handmade specifically for our garden. Boy, they've got these wonderful bowls right now that are made out of vegetables. Have you ever
really?
Heard of that?
No, I have not. I'll have to check that out.
They look like parchment paper, but you look closely and it's a tomato. Yeah.
Very cool. All right, Michelle, we're going to wrap it up with you. Michelle Conklin is the Tucson Botanical Gardens Executive Director, and the gardens recently honored one of the top 10 botanical gardens in North America. Again, congratulations to you on that and your staff. And we do want to you made an announcement here on the program, which is very good news. The Frida exhibit that is up at the Tucson Botanical Gardens has been given an extension from the end of May through the end of August. That's great. So folks in the summer will have an opportunity to get over there. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
And again, congratulations. All right, coming up this afternoon, it's Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen, my engineer producer, who does such a great job for me Monday through Thursday, ably assists Mr. Shaw from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. Then we do 3 hours of talk here with Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 tomorrow. I'll be back at 12:04, and again, Congressman Grijalva will be with me in studio along with Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. Until then, on behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.